Thank you, brother. As George Yontz, that used to sing with the Cathedral Quartet, would say, if that doesn't light your fire, your wood is definitely wet. So I pray this morning that you have experienced God in worship today already. I pray that you came prepared to worship. I pray that you came praying and seeking God's heart, God's mind, God's will, and God's purpose for your life. Tonight at 5:30, we will begin our new members training class right behind the kitchen of the Family Life Center. I encourage you that have joined with us and have followed the Lord in believers' baptism that you would come and be a part of that class tonight. It's very important that you do that. We would also like to have those of you that have been members for a while to come and be a part of the class as well. I truly believe that God is at work in a great and a marvelous way in the lives and the membership of this family. I tell people all the time, you're not joining a church. We are the church. You're joining a family, a local church family, a local body of believers. Today is a very important time in the history of Dutch Fork Baptist Church. You will be electing four men to replace those deacons that will be rotating off. The four that you elect will be serving 3 years, unless they choose to resign early because they can't get along with the pastor, maybe. I'm just kidding. I can be a challenge to live with. Roma attests to that. But I tell you, you won't find anybody that will love you any more than I love you. I missed you so much last weekend. I text several of you just to let you know how much I missed you. You are our family. And I love you, Dutch Fork. I truly love you. And I thank you for giving Roma and I the opportunity to share with you. Today is an anniversary Sunday. Michael French, you remember what today was 6 years ago? It was the first day I came to supply the pulpit upon your call to Johnny Rumbo, our director of missions. 6 years ago, two people went out the front door of the church and they said to me emphatically, you're to be our next pastor. I said, oh no. that's not even a consideration. That's not even something that we can talk about. One of them looked at my wife, she said, well, your wife and I are going to pray that you hear God and that you become the pastor. And I am so grateful because so much has happened and God has been so good in so many ways. So this is a very special day in our lives. Not only that Mary and Leon are new grandparents. Wow. You sure can't forget that. 09, 2015, right? 9 pounds and 0.09 ounces, 2015, right? 21 and 3/4 inches long, is that right? Did I remember correctly? That's a big baby. big baby. Amen. Well, take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 6. When you find Acts chapter 6, stand with me, please, as we read God's Word together and we honor His Word. Choir, Marcia, y'all did an awesome job, I tell you. You certainly set my heart on fire. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not meet that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look among you for 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus of Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaitan, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Father God, would you give us leaders today? Leaders that will be full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, and full of wisdom. God, may we decide today that carnality is not an option. That we're going to be filled with your Spirit. We're going to be led by your Spirit. That it is not about us and what we may think or what we may want or what we may desire. It is about you, Father. Worship is all about you. We all have our likes and our dislikes. We all have our opinions. But God, when we come together as the body of Christ, we come together for one reason and one reason only. And it is that we might be edified in the truth of your word, that we might grow in your grace and in your knowledge and in your wisdom. And that the world may know and may come to know and trust the Jesus that lives in our hearts as our Lord and our Savior. Help us to remember that somebody is always watching us. Somebody's always listening to us. Somebody's always observing us. And that we are leaving a legacy, a heritage. And may we ask ourselves the question, how do we want to be remembered? God, help us to be remembered as Stephen was, even though he was stoned. Help us to be remembered as Jesus was, even though he was crucified. Help us, Father, that the legacy that we leave for the generations that will come after us will say, there is a family of believers who gather week after week at Dutch Fork Baptist Church, and they gather for one purpose and one purpose only. And that is that the gospel may be furthered to the four corners of the world. And that people may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God, speak through your people today. Speak through them as they choose four individuals to serve this family for the next 3 years. If you tarry the coming of your Son, remove this pastor from the eyes of these people and magnify and exalt and glorify your Son, our Savior. Forgive us and cleanse us of all that is not of you, because all that is not of you is sin. May we acknowledge that, repent of it, confess it, turn from it, and turn to you. That you might be the power within us, so that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, so that we will know that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, so that we will understand that greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world, and so that we will understand, Father, that no principality has power over the authority of your Son and his Word who lives in us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. One of the greatest needs in our churches today, and I find this as a director of missions, and by the way, when you give to the Janie Chapman State Mission Offering, you're helping pay your pastor's salary in another way. That allows me to be able, and Roma and I, to be able to do what we're able to do here, to serve you in basically a full-time capacity, but yet to not draw a full-time salary, so that
you can have those funds available, and those funds can be available to impact ministry through this great church. One of the greatest needs that comes to churches today is a vacuum. It happens any time that that if we're not careful, the enemy comes in and begins to create and begins to try to bring about confusion and strife and division within the body. The early church was no exception. 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost. A week later, 5,000 were saved. You have 8,000 men plus women and children that constitute this early church. And so when you arrive at Acts chapter 6, and Acts is written chronologically by the Holy Spirit through Luke for us. And so when Naomi and I were talking about the slides for the morning service, she said, "Pastor Johnny," she said, "I think we just need one slide." And I thought about that and I said, yes, she's right. We need only one slide today because, folks, you see, everything that we do as the body of Christ here at Dutch Fort must be focused around that theme that is on the screen in front of you right now. God-centered. Ask yourself this question: are my thoughts and my attitudes God-centered? Are they Christ-focused? And is the Holy Spirit leading me to do this? That is the thermometer or the barometer or the rule or the yardstick that I believe that God desires that we look at and measure every ministry and everything that we do as an individual and cooperatively as the body of Christ. John Maxwell, who is a leadership guru, and I've said this before, but some of you hadn't heard it, so let me say it again, okay? John Maxwell, who is a leadership guru, and I have read all of his books. One of the smartest men in regard to leadership that I have ever read behind and studied behind. John Maxwell says a statement, he says, if the right leadership does not rise up, Satan will always raise the wrong leadership. And I have seen that, of course, the 40-plus years of pastoring and serving in the Lexington Baptist Association as Director of Leadership Development under Dr. Johnny Rumbo and with David Lee. I have seen it as Director of Missions for the Edisto Baptist Association, where Rome and I are still serving. I have seen that vacuum of leadership. And every time Satan will raise up a person, well, guess what? When Satan raises that person up, they're not spiritual. Understand that. They are carnal. They are operating from a mind that is centered on themselves. They are operating from a mind that is centered. Because you see, the first object of Satan was to bring attention to him. And he reminded Adam and Eve. In fact, he stated so emphatically to Adam and Eve. And it's the lie that he has given down through the course of history. And he's still giving that lie today, is that if you will just do this, you will become a god. You will become in charge of your own life. We call it humanism today. Humanism says that I am in charge of my life. Humanism says that I am in charge of every area of my life. Humanism says that it is all about me. Many churches today are paralyzed because they are being led by carnal leadership and Christians who are more concerned about their own personal agendas, their wants and desires, than God's empowerment and agenda. You can always recognize carnal leaders by their desire to have it their way, do it their way, and choosing for selfish reasons not to become team players. It's a, I'm going to take my marbles and go home if I don't get my way about this. It's an attitude. It's an attitude that is centered and focused on self rather than God. And that's what God desires in my life and in your life, is that my life be centered on Him, that my life be focused on His Son and His will and His purpose and His plan for my life, and that my life be filled and led by the Holy Spirit of God. A person walked up to me one day and they said, "Pastor Johnny, I feel uncomfortable in your presence." And I began to ask them why. And they said to me, "Well, you look like you can see right through me." I said, "Guess what? I can. You see, the eyes of the Holy Spirit are going to give you wisdom beyond the wisdom of man. The eyes of the Holy Spirit are going to give you the wisdom of God. They're going to give you the insight of God. They're going to give you the discernment of God. And they're going to unlock the hidden truths of the Word of God. And I bring this message to you this morning with all the love that's in my heart. But Dutch Fork is at a critical point right now. Every 5 years in the course of history, churches reach critical points. And they either decide that God is most important in everything that they do, and they either decide that Christ is going to be what we focus on, and they either decide that we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, or they begin to be led by their own selfish desires and selfish wants. And the early church had that problem almost immediately. You see, it's that old natural man that's still around, that old man that has not died, that old carnal flesh that raises its ugly head. You see, there's no place for the spirit of selfish carnality in the bride of Christ. Paul says there's the natural man, the carnal man, the spiritual man. Which are you this morning? Are you walking by the Spirit, walking by the flesh, or are you just a natural man? Have you never come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Matthew 6:33. Who is this about? The early leaders. Let's look at these verses quickly. We need church leaders and leadership that will be God-centered, Christ-focused, Holy Spirit-led. Why? Because focusing on reproducing ourselves. Listen to me. Somebody's going to be just like you. Somebody's going to act just like you. Somebody's going to hear what you say and think because you say it, it's okay. And they're going to repeat it. They're going to do it. They're going to say it. And if you're not careful, it can become injurious. It can become hurtful to the body of Christ and to the cause of Christ and to the mission and the purpose of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. So we look at these first three verses together this morning. We see the request of the church. There's an issue. Now look up here and don't miss what I'm about to say. Deacons are elected for one reason and one reason only, and that's to handle issues in the church. Issues in the church. That's why they're elected. They're not a board. They're not a governing body. They are elected to handle the issues in the body of Christ. And whatever those issues are, it's their responsibility to resolve those issues in an admirable way, in a way that God is centered in that, Christ is focused in that, and the Holy Spirit is leading in that. And so we see they're chosen to settle those issues. Verse 1, they are the conflict resolution body of Christ, parts of the body of Christ. Their responsibility is to resolve conflict. And it's to be a priority. It's to be handled immediately. If you knew you had something that needed Dr. Tom Edwards' attention, you'd see him immediately, wouldn't you? No, love you, Tom. You'd go to the doctor immediately, is my point. And so those things have to be handled quickly. Just this past week and the week before, I've had to deal with some issues in my editorial association. But thank God, healing was brought about and restoration was brought about. And folks, that's the way it's supposed to be. I love to kiss and make up. Man, when Roma gets upset with me, sometimes I can't wait till I can get my arms around her. Just because there's snow on the mountain doesn't mean the fire's out in this furnace, okay? There ought to be that kind of love in our heart and in our life for one another. As the body of Christ, when one hurts, all hurt. When one is injured, all are injured. When one is experiencing pain, all should be experiencing pain. And so they were chosen to settle issues. It was a priority. The church it was admonished to make the decision. They chose seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of faith, and full of wisdom. God's wisdom. These were all Hellenistic Jews, meaning they were converted Jews out of the Greek background. And they felt that the Jewish women, the Jewish widows were receiving more of the daily ministration of the food. Now let me ask you a question. If these are the requirements for seven men that's going to handle food distribution, hello, how much more important is it that these men be of this nature to handle other issues that develop within the body of Christ? You see, God has a plan and a desire. The pastor's not here and the deacon's here, the body here. We try to graph all of this but God has placed every person in the body of Christ for the purpose to bring glory and honor to Him, and that the cause of the gospel may go out of these doors into this community, into this county, into this state, and into this nation, and into the world. Secondly, there was a requirement that was placed upon them. I want you to look what it says in regard to pastoral leadership. Prayer was a constant and a continued priority. There was a ministry of the word that was to be an absolute. It brought unity to the body of Christ immediately. When unity comes into a union, a husband and a wife, a brother and a sister, a child and parents and child, within the body of Christ, within the local family, when unity comes in, it brings harmony, it brings the peace of God, it brings the power of God, it brings the purpose of God, and through that, the will of God is carried out. There's a reward for that obedience. God's word was magnified in verse 7. The church grew exponentially. After Acts chapter 6, it no longer says that the Lord added to the church daily. It says, and the disciples multiplied. Why? Because the focus was not about them. The focus was about God and what God wants to do through me. No brag, just a fact. Every morning I leave the house. I get in my truck to drive over here, and I as I leave the house and I'm headed out to number one, I've got a nice warm mug of coffee that my sweet little precious wife has just fixed for me. I don't make coffee at the house. Roma makes coffee. She makes good coffee. I have me a banana. I don't eat breakfast. I eat any other time, but I don't eat breakfast. And I'm driving, I'm leaving the house, and as I go, get out on the road, and I ask God, I said, God, today is your day in my life. Use me in whatever way you can to bring the greatest glory and the greatest honor and the greatest praise to you. God, today I want you to be magnified in my life. I want my thoughts to be your thoughts. I want my joys to be your joys. I want my peace to be your peace. I want my happiness to be your happiness. God, it's about you. This day is about you. It's a brand new day you've given me. I've never lived it before. Ooh, I'm excited to live it. The headache's gone. Thank you for praying. You can tell by my preaching it's gone. I wouldn't be preaching this loud if it was hurting. But I'm passionate. I'm passionate. You see, God's looking for people that are passionate about the gospel, passionate about Him, passionate about His Son, not passionate about their desires or their wants or their ambitions or their goals. God is looking for leadership today that matters. That in eternity to come, in the councils of eternity to come, it will have mattered because it will have impacted lives. It will have helped change hearts. It will have saved marriages. It will have impacted young boys and young girls with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church grew exponentially. Priests became obedient to the faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. The mustard seed of faith, Jesus said, and you can speak to the mountain, and the mountain will be cast into yonder sea. That's another sermon. Faith has substance. It has evidence in our life. They were to be full of faith. Men that were full of faith, full of wisdom, and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I asked someone when I was preparing this message, what did it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? A person that's filled with the Holy Spirit of God is not thinking about themselves. A person that is filled with the Holy Spirit of God is God-focused, centered, Christ-focused, centered, Holy Spirit-focused, and Holy Spirit-led. That's why Paul says, don't walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. Some days it's hard to do. This old flesh will raise its ugly head. And it'll dictate to us, church. And we'll begin to think about ourselves, and we'll begin to think about, I want to ask you a question. Anybody stoned you lately? Anybody crucified you lately? I keep telling my family I'm going to live every day God gave me to live. I don't worry about what, I don't worry. When Roma married me, I was a worry wart. I was an eternal pessimist. And she still has to every now and then say to me, Johnny, we're not going there. And we're not in the car driving anywhere. You know what I mean. Johnny, we're not going there. Why? It's a hole. It's a hole. And you'll find yourself deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in that hole. Carnal people, a fleshly people, and it's always about them. Faith has substance. Faith has evidence. Abraham called those things forth which were as though they were. He's known as the patriarch of faith. Why? Because every time God told him to take a step, he took it, even though he couldn't see it. Even though he couldn't comprehend it, even though he couldn't understand it, even though he had not received the promise. Because you see, listen to me, the promise wasn't to Abraham, it was to his seed. His seed. His seed. And because of the obedience and the faith of Abraham this morning, you and I are where we are. Because you see, we have been engrafted into the loins of Abraham. And every promise that God made to Abraham, he made to you and I. And because of the faith and the obedience of Abraham, God, I want to be obedient. Sometimes the hardest thing in the world for me to do is be obedient. And sometimes Satan will get me hung up on my disobedience. And I'm thinking about all the places and all the times I've been disobedient. Listen to me this morning, church. I want to give you a victory shout. My disobedience is under the blood of Jesus Christ, and so is yours. Give him a hand of praise. Give him a hand of praise. He delivered you from the powers of darkness. He set you free. Oh, today we ought to be obedient. I got amused last night. I have to tell you quick this little story. I was, I feel sorry for you Gamecock fans. My blood has flowed orange all my life. Even though my son-in-law and my sweet daughter graduated from USC, I feel sorry for Coach Spurrier. I do. I feel sorry for him. That was a tough loss. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like Coach Spurrier? Wonder how he felt last night. When you see him shake his head and rub his head like that, take that visor and three or four times. Listen to me. Listen to me. We don't have to worry about losing church. Did you hear me this morning? I'm on the winning team. Are you on the winning team? Listen to me. We're not on defense. We're on offense. And we have the ball all the time. And we're going to score every time. You know why? We have the greatest coach in the world. And if we'll just listen to him and play like him, I want to be obedient. How about you? When he tells me what my play is, I want to carry out my play. Amen. If it's just blocking, I want to block. If it's getting my hands on the ball, I want to get my hands on the ball. But listen to me, I want to be a part of a team that's on offense all the time. You know why? Because we win. And there's just something in me wants to win every time. By the way, we played putt-putt. I won. Remind me again, Joni, how many strokes under was it? 6 strokes under. I won. Oh, quickly, let me finish. Y'all gonna faint, aren't you? The reputation of Stephen. I asked you earlier in the message, how do you want to be remembered? Grouchy, griping, complaining, fault-finding. Well, it ought to be done this way. It ought to be done that way. I want to do it God's way. It may cost me my life. It may cost some of you your lives. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take to bring this nation to its knees that they'll repent. But I'm going to give you a little taste of next Sunday morning's message. Listen to me. Look up here. Don't miss what I'm about to say. You and I have the opportunity right now. This past week, somebody said to me, said, Brother Johnny, what kind of cologne do you wear? I said, when somebody asks you that, you have too much on? Am I smelling too? Well, I'd rather y'all smell me with too much cologne than smell me the other way, okay? Do you understand this morning, listen to me, that you have the opportunity to be a sweet-smelling savor in heaven, to bring a fragrance to heaven? Do you understand that this morning? Every time you wake up, you've got an opportunity to be a fragrance to heaven. You see, when you start praying, and you start praying according to the will and the purpose and the plan of God, your prayers rise up to God as a sweet-smelling incense in heaven. You're the perfume that God wears in heaven, church. Woo! Wait till next Sunday. Lord, you got to tarry one more week. I got to preach that message. You gave it to me. I must be supposed to preach it. You got to tarry one more week. Stephen was a sweet-smelling fragrance. You see, it wasn't about Stephen. When they stoned him, a deacon, the first deacon that got stoned, any of you deacons ready to be stoned? Maybe some of you men want to take your name off the ballot right now. I'm just kidding. They stoned him. But there was somebody standing over here watching. When they stoned him, holding his clothes, they stoned him naked. Holding his clothes, somebody was standing over here watching. All of a sudden, he heard Stephen say what our Lord said on that cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He couldn't get away from the prick. It pricked him and pricked him and pricked him and pricked him and pricked him till one day on the Damascus Road, he heard the same voice that Stephen saw the man. He wrote over half of the New Testament. He was named after the first king of Israel. He was a pagan's pagan, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Somebody is watching you. Somebody is seeing what you do. But Stephen was God-centered. Stephen was Christ-focused. And Stephen was Holy Spirit-led. And if you are saved here this morning, you're saved because that man, the Apostle Paul, took the gospel to the Gentiles. And you are saved as a result of somebody named Stephen, the first deacon being stoned, who cried out, "Father, lay not this sin to their charge." And there was an old fellow over here, the same age of Jesus, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He could never get away from it. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of deacon that needs to lead Dutch Fork Baptist Church. Choosing leaders that matter, that make a difference in eternity. And church, Stephen's obedience made a difference, because Johnny Muller standing here today, blood washed, blood bought, and born again. Let's pray.